Just remain standing, if you will, and get your King James Bible. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter number 2. We have already studied the book of Proverbs on Sunday nights. We've studied through verse 4, or chapter 4. Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And a couple of weeks ago, or last time we looked at it, I don't think that was a couple of weeks ago, last time we looked at it, we went back to chapter number 3. And then I went through all of those four chapters talking about some of the statements our Lord made about being careful, the crowd you're running with and that sort of thing. I dealt with some of that, dealing with all those. And today I want to look back at chapter number 2. You might say, preacher, we'll never get done if you keep going backwards in this thing. But I don't intend on just continue doing that. But I do, the Lord gave me a thought from chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. And I'm going to deal with those in these three. At least I'm going to deal with this one tonight. Then I might put 3 and 4 together. I'm not sure. But we'll deal with chapter number 2 tonight in the thought process that the Lord gave us. By the way, let me comment on that song we just sang about marching neath the banner of the cross. I like that good song. I like those maybe military type songs. Amen. I know some people don't like them. They say, well, it's almost like you're rousing people up, for some kind of a military deal. Well, we ought to be soldiers of the cross. We ought to be diligent about that. Amen. I'm not saying we ought to go out and start a fight, but I don't think we ought to be limp-wristed pacifists. Amen. I think we ought to take a stand for the Lord. He deserves to be stood up for. Amen. He really does. He deserves to be stood up for. And Lord, help us to do that. Amen. And I know that when he came the first time, Peter jerked out a sword, chopped a fellow's ear off. Jesus, he didn't rebuke him too hard, somebody said, but he did take that ear and put it back on and said, that's not what we're here for. But the next time he comes, it's going to be a different story. It's going to be a different story the next time he comes. He's coming to rule and reign. Amen. I know he's going to rapture the church out, but he's also going to rule and reign on this earth. I don't know how long that'll be. Some saying earlier, I don't see how things can keep going in the direction that it is going unless Jesus comes and does something. I just don't see how it does that. I'm praying for revival if he don't come, but I'm praying even so come Lord Jesus. Amen. Second chapter, of Proverbs. I start to say second Proverbs, but the second chapter of Proverbs. And I'm going to just pick up reading in verse number 6, if you'll jump there with us. And we'll look at all these verses in a moment, but I want to look at verse number 6, read down through verse number 9. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. I want to pay attention specifically verses 8 and 9. He's talking about the path, the way, and again he talks about the path. Verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. I want to try to preach on the path of wisdom and life tonight by the help of the Lord. Looking at chapter number 2, and I'll reference chapter 3 and 4 as we go along. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Houston, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank the Lord again for allowing us to be here.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, bless and help.
Help all those that are, whether it be a spiritual need, a physical need, Lord, I pray you just meet those needs.
Yes.
Pray again, Lord, you're such a man of God, help them try to lay on his heart tonight. Help us, Lord, to hear, Lord, what you're doing.
Yes.
Want us to hear, Lord. Listen to them, pay attention to the message, Lord, tonight, and help us, Lord, to leave us something, Lord, that will help us and encourage us.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, again, for all that you do. In his name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. The path, of wisdom and life. Amen. Now, as I said, we've already studied through chapters 1 through 4, and we looked at all the verses, though not necessarily in a verse-by-verse fashion. We tried to cover it all. And the book of Proverbs is not written like a lot of the other books. It's a collection of Proverbs, and so they don't necessarily one lead to the other, to the other, to the other. They're just, in a sense, a hodgepodge. And you say, why are they written that way? I don't have a, well, I do have a good answer. I don't have an answer that might please us. I'll just say that's how God wanted it done. That's why it's done that way. I don't know any other way. But it's as if the idea is God's not, He tells us a story. There's stories told throughout the Bible. But the book of Proverbs, it's not just a story. It's little nuggets of truth. And by the way, a Proverbs is a large truth in a little nutshell. And it's just a little simple saying that helps us to be able to understand what God's saying and some of the things that He's doing. But interesting enough, the first 9 chapters of the book of Psalms is more like lectures. It's all of them talking about my son. It's a father to a son. We have in here the mother to the son. We have the talking about the grandparents to the grandchildren. We looked at some of that already as Solomon referenced it about his grandfather. His father's father said this to him. And so, but there's lectures that are being said that children might learn and understand. And we listen to that as our Heavenly Father speaking to His children. Amen. And Him giving us some information and some instruction. Now, like I said, it's been a while since we've looked at the book of Proverbs. I looked back and according to my notes, I think maybe November the 29th of last year might have been the last time we looked at it when we were going through this. But I preached a sermon on Is It Too Good to Be True? And talked about some of these things, and people say, well, those promises are just, they're too good to be true. I'm glad God's big enough to keep all His promises. A lot of times we can promise things we can't do necessarily, but God's never promised something that He couldn't do. He is able to do that. And so He says there's some blessings in the principles of walking in wisdom. Now, one of the things I dealt with in that, and I'm just throwing it out and getting ready to move on, but one of the things that I dealt with that I think is important is because He talks about long life for the man that walks in wisdom. And that does not mean that you might not die a young man. I've been listening to a biography of a man, William Grimshaw, written by J.C. Ryle. And I just today, the second chapter, it talks about his death already. He died on April the 17th, 73, somewhere in that line of being. He died, I know it was April 17th, I remember that because the day before my birthday, he was 55 years old. I'll be 55 years old on April the 18th. And I was thinking, it just struck me, he died a young man. He only had, he had 2 wives, both of those died before he did. And he died 55, I mean, he wasn't an old man himself. His first wife had had 2 previous husbands, and both of them had died before she married him. He only had 2 children. His first child was a daughter, died when she was 12 years old. And then his son outlived him. His son lived 3 years past his dad and then died in his 30s. But I'm simply saying, just because that you walk in wisdom does not mean you're going to live to be 100 years old. When God says He's promised you with a long life, it's length of days and longer perhaps than it would have been had you lived in a wicked state. Amen. And we know this, that sin shortens your days. It does. It shortens your days. And so godliness, it would just stand to reason, lengthens our days. Amen. And so, again, I say my intention here is not to do an exhaustive depth of study. We could do that. And we could dig forever without ever exhausting these scriptures. I don't intend on that. I'm just looking back at it for a moment and getting some thoughts here as we move along in chapters 2, 3, and 4. Now, I want to focus, as I said, specifically on verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2, but I want to look at all of it, the whole chapter, and I'll make some comments about this chapter as we go along. But he's talking about the paths of judgment. He's talking about the way of the saints, and he's talking about every good path. Amen. And so I said I want to preach tonight on the path. There is a trail you need to get on. There's a path you need to walk. That's the path of wisdom and life. Amen. Amen. I've said this in the past, and I'll just throw it out and I'll get into my text. As parents, we ought to go to God so often that we make a path that our children can find and follow the path and find how to get to God. Amen. I remember as a boy, many of you, you've seen it. If you've seen farms, cattle tend to walk in the same path. They'll wear it down. Amen. Matter of fact, when I say cattle, goats, they do a lot of the same thing. Now, chickens ain't got enough sense to walk in a path. They can't even cross the road properly. Amen. But a lot of animals, deer, well, they follow a path, and a lot of animals do that. Humans, there used to be, you know, when we did a lot more walking, humans walked and they made paths, and as little trails went along, now there are roads and highways and such as that. But there is a road that we need, there's a path we need to keep clear, and that is the path of wisdom, the path of righteousness, amen, the path of life. So I want to try to preach on that tonight. Look back at these first verses. Let me just mention that in these former verses, verses 1 through 5 that I didn't read to you, there's a lot of action that's given, particularly in verses 1 through 4. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. There's 8 actions here in these first 4 verses. Note 2 in each. If thou wilt receive, that's an action, my words. Number 2, and hide my commandments with thee. Number 3, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Number 4, and apply thine heart to understanding. Number 5, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Number 6, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Number 7, if thou seekest her as silver. Number 8, and searcheth for her as hid treasures. After all this action, there's a promise. Look at verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We know, I believe that the key verse to all of Proverbs, the whole book, is the verse that says, the fear of God, or the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge, or the beginning of wisdom. It says it both ways in the different texts. So to come to know God, to fear God, not that we're cringing from Him, but that we're honoring Him, that we respect God. Amen. That we respect God. I don't want my children, or I don't want my grandchildren to fear me and that they're afraid to be around me. But I do want them to respect me. To know that when I say no, that's exactly what I mean. Amen. And so I want them to be able to have that respect. And that's what God wants from His children. So the father here is telling the son that he must not be passive about gaining this information. Be honest with you, this ties in perfectly with the message I preached this morning about if we want these children to have sound doctrine to grow up in, it ain't going to just happen. We can't just go into it passively. We've got to actively go after knowledge and go after wisdom. Amen. And so he says you can't be passive about gaining this wisdom. I say to young people, don't be passive about gaining wisdom. There are some, maybe, that think you already know it all. Nope, you don't. You'd be amazed at how much you don't know. By the way, the reason you don't know that you don't know it all is because you know so very little. If you get to know just a little more, and I'm not mocking, but I'm being serious. If you get to learn a little bit, the more you learn, the more you realize, you know, I didn't know I was dumb or ignorant. Amen. I didn't know that I didn't know all these things. And there's so much that we need to learn about God. That's what I'm dealing specifically with. And so we ought to chase fervently after wisdom. We ought to cry for it. We ought to long for it. We ought to chase after it. That's what he's talking about here. And then if we'll do that, he said, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God's not pulling it along like a, you know, like a little carrot on a stick that you reach for it and then he pulls it a little bit farther away. No, he's not interested in that. Matter of fact, it's more like fishing. If it is anything on a stick, you want that fish to get a hold of that thing. Amen. Amen. God, in reality, God's dangling it out there, not so he can tempt you with it or play with it. He wants you to grab a hold of that thing. Amen. And then you'll find out that you've got something good when you do. Now we're ready to move on in the chapter. and see how that the son is instructed here, and how that he, after he's chased after wisdom, after he's caught a little bit of wisdom, he's to continue in that path. Amen. And these verses deal with the path of wisdom in life. They say a lot about it. And a matter of fact, the whole book of Proverbs dealing with the path that we ought to take. And I'm glad that it shows us the right way that we ought to go. As a matter of fact, the word path is found 6 times in the book of Proverbs. Every one of those times is in the first 5 chapters. The word path. The word paths, plural, is found 12 times in the book of Proverbs. The word way is found 57 times in the book of Proverbs. By the way, 10 of them are in these first 4 chapters that we've looked at already. The way, and then the ways, plural, is found 29 times in the book of Proverbs. So when you use path and way and the plural of those two words, that it's in our King James Bible, in the book of Proverbs, at least 106 times in this one little book. So God's got a lot to say about the way you're walking. Amen. The way you're walking. Now listen, I know what people say, but preacher, wisdom's not detailed by the way you walk. Wisdom's detailed by the way you think. But you'll never know if somebody's thinking right unless you see it in their walk. Matter of fact, truth is they're not thinking right if it isn't being evident in their walk. Amen. It's just there naturally in that process. So with this in mind, talking about the pathway that we're to walk, chapters number 2, 3, and 4 deal with the path that we're to walk on, this path of wisdom. And chapter number 2, I believe it shows us that wisdom protects the path of life. Wisdom protects your path. And then chapter number 3 shows us that wisdom directs your path. And then chapter number 4 shows us that wisdom perfects your path. So it protects it, directs it, and perfects it. Amen. And we'll look at those others later. But tonight I want to deal with this chapter number 2 and show you how wisdom protects your path. Look at verse number 8, and that's where I started up, just really focusing on. And let me not skip 6 and 7. Let's look at 6 and 7. For the Lord giveth wisdom. So he's talking about you'll find the way of God when you get there. God's the one that has wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is the buckler of them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment. He and preserveth the way of his saints. There, verse number 8 now. He, God, he's talking about God. God's the one that's got the wisdom. God's the one that gives it out. Interesting to me, here's a father, Solomon, trying to tell his son, by the way, Solomon's the wisest man that ever lived. Amen. He didn't always live up to his wisdom. By the way, you've done a lot of things dumber than you think. You knew better. You thought better, but you didn't do better. Amen. Every one of us. So they're saying we did things we knew was not wise. When we did it, we said, you big dummy. Amen. I won't go into my impersonations of these different things, but we say, you're a dummy. You made a mistake. Amen. And why did you do it? You knew better. You ever done that? You ever said, I knew better than that? You did. Solomon didn't always live up to the wisdom he knew. Amen. But he was a wise man. He's the wisest man to ever live. And he's instructing his son. He's wanting his son to get wisdom. But here's what he says. He said, son, if you really want wisdom, it's not what comes from me. It's what comes from God. There in verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Every father wants the best for his son or his daughter. Amen. They want the best for their children. But the best for them is not just what we can give them. The best for them is what God can give them. Amen. And we want to instruct them in that. So he says in verse number 8, he, God, keepeth the paths of judgment. Amen. And so that idea is that he is guarding the path. He's guarding the path of judgment. And he's protecting, he's guarding the way of his saints. Amen. So here's what he's saying. If we will walk in the path that God wants us to walk in, there will be protection there. God guards the path that his children are on. Amen. God guards the path that he wants us to walk on. We are under the watch care and protection of God when we're walking in his will. Amen. I'll say that again because it's important. We are under the watch care and protection of God when we are walking in his will. I've heard people say, for example, to missionaries, Missionaries are going to take their children and go off to a foreign country. And they say, I can't believe that you're going to subject those children to such a dangerous culture. Well, it's not any more dangerous than America is if you're out of the will of God. I remember my dad saying that about some others in a situation. Dad said there are more. He's talking about my brother when he was in the Iraq war. He said he's safer in the middle of war in the will of God than he is here out of the will of God. That is definitely true. Amen. Thank God that God protects us. That's what he's talking about. He guards. He protects that way. The word translated keepeth there in verse number 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment. It's Strong's number 5341. It comes from a Hebrew word. It's a root word that means to guard. I'm reading you right out of the, here's what it said. To guard in a good sense. To protect, maintain, obey, etc. God guards the path of the righteous. God protects the path of the righteous. God preserves the path of the righteous. Amen. And then when you look there at, well, let me say before I move up, that word to keep, it means to guard. It's used 62 times in the King James Bible in the Old Testament alone. 62 times, because it's a Hebrew word, used 62 times in the King James Old Testament. It's translated keep, preserve, watchman, among other words. They all deal with the idea of God being a watchman. God standing guard or God placing a guard over these things. Amen. So what it means is that God himself, you see it in verse number 8? He himself, he keepeth the paths of judgment. God himself stands guard, amen, over these paths. You walk in these other paths, there may be devils in those paths. Matter of fact, there are devils in those paths. Amen. There's evil in those paths. There's evil men and seducers, but there's evil spirits out there. But the path of righteous God guards it, he said. Amen. Thank God he does. Amen. And so he guards the path. He stands guard over the path. He will not allow that path to shift or change. Amen. He keeps it the same. He doesn't allow that path to be diverted or perverted. He keeps it clear. God stands guard over the truth. Amen. Do you know the truth never changes? They talk about, well, we've got new truths today. No, we don't. I know our world's talking about your truth and my truth. You better line up with the truth. It's not yours or mine. The truth's the truth. Amen. Amen. Truth doesn't change. Amen. I remember several years ago, Brother Bob Patenall preached a message in our missions, in our jubilee that we had, that vision one year. And he preached on truth doesn't change when it crosses borders. He's talking about how when a missionary goes into another country, doesn't have to change his message. It's the same message. Amen. Truth doesn't change when it crosses borders. Truth doesn't change when the calendar flips over. Preacher, this is 2021. Yeah, and the truth's still the truth.
Amen.
Amen. And it'll be the truth. Well, he said he keepeth, that is the word guard. Then the word preserveth. Look at that in verse number 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. That word is Strong's number 8104. It means to hedge about as with thorns. If you look at it in Strong's recording, it says those very words. To hedge about as with thorns. That is to guard. Generally to protect, attend to, etc. Amen. And so again, he's saying God's putting a guard. God is hedging in. God is protecting the path of wisdom. Amen. Now this word, I mentioned that the previous word, the word for keep, is found 62 times in the Old Testament. There's that's a lot of times just in the Old Testament. But this word's found 468 times in the Old Testament. 468 times this word used, translated protect, here, or preserveth, I'm sorry, here is used in the King James Bible. It is always speaking about something or someone that is either being kept or is keeping. Something that is being kept, preserved, watched over, or guarded. Matter of fact, you remember back in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 15, when God made man, put him in the garden, and he told Adam, your job is to keep it and to dress it. You remember that? Keep the garden and dress it. That was Adam's job. By the way, he worked before the fall. Work is not a curse from the fall. Amen. Work is not a curse from the fall. Work was there. Work's a blessing, by the way. Amen. You get out of work, you go looking for work, you'll find that work's a blessing. You get laid up where you can't work, you'll wish you could. Amen. Work is a blessing. But God told Adam, he said, I want you to dress and keep it. And that word keep is this same word that's translated right here as preserveth. Adam's job was to guard the garden. Adam let down his guard. When Adam let down his guard, the devil came in. Chapter number 3, you know the story. You remember how that God ran them out of the garden. God drove, the Bible said, drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. And he set up cherubims, and he used a word. He set up cherubim with a flaming sword to keep, that's this same word, to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. God's interested in guarding the truth. He don't want the truth to be perverted. He don't want the truth to be changed. Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the truth God left us, he didn't leave it to men to have to guard? But God's got his own means of guarding the truth. Amen. Amen. And so I'm glad God's serious about guarding the right way. Amen. Now, this leads me to an opportunity to say something about the King James Bible. I don't think that really that we have to protect or defend the truth nearly as much as we need to proclaim and declare it.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say it again. We don't need to protect and defend the truth nearly as much as we need to proclaim and declare it. Amen. Amen. We need to study the right way. We need to live the right way. We need to walk in the right way. And we need to proclaim the right way. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, and I'm just paraphrasing it, but he said the Bible's like a lion that doesn't need us to protect it. It needs us to turn it loose on people. Amen. You don't have to coddle and say, well, I'm afraid they're going to pervert the Bible. They're trying their best to, but what we need to do is just keep proclaiming the truth. Amen. Amen. Now, let me say this, too, and I know you've heard it. I know it's been said here more than one time by myself. I've heard Brother Steve said, I've heard Brother Hall say it. But we ought to be careful not to get caught in this trap of thinking what we need to do is study the wrong ways so we can refute them. No, you don't need to walk down the wrong path to be able to tell people to stay off of that path. What you need to do is stay on the right path. Stay with the right stuff. Amen. Keep the right doctrine and keep proclaiming the right doctrine, and that will refute the false doctrine. Amen. Amen. If you go down that path, it often leads you into error. Amen. What we really need to do is study the right way. You've heard it said in the bank when they're handling money, to recognize counterfeit, they don't show them counterfeit. They just get them comfortable with the real thing. They know how it feels. They know how it separates. They know all this stuff about the money. They know when you make that mark, you know, even the cash register, they can't tell you change out if they need to give you 5 cents. If they say you owe me 5 cents, you give them a quarter. They can't figure that up, but they know if they mark that bill, and care whether it's real or not. Amen. You know why? Because they've handled it. Well, the thing is, we need to handle the truth so much. And again, it goes back to my message this morning. We need to handle the Bible so much that we'll recognize the phony when it shows up.
Amen.
Amen. And so he's dealing with this thing. God's protecting the way that is right. Amen. We'll preach the truth. It'll do more to correct the misguided. And that's what we need to do. So this chapter is about wisdom. Wisdom protecting our path. I want to give you 3 points out of chapter number 2 and these verses, if I can, that I hope be helpful. How wisdom protects our path if we walk in it. These 3 breakdowns of this chapter. Verses 1 through 9 deal with walking with God. Verses 10 through 19 deal with walking with the wicked. And verses 20 through 22 deal with walking with the righteous. And I'll use those 3 points. Walking with God, walking with the wicked, and walking with the righteous. Verses 1 through 9, I've already covered those verses fairly well. But God's talking about walking with God, listening to Him, being on His path. Amen. Just like any father wants you to receive His words. He wants you to listen to what He's got to say. He wants you to hide His commandments. That's why Dad used to say, write that down in your little black book. Amen. I never had the courage to say, but I don't have a little black book. I'd say I'd had a little black eye, but I wouldn't have. He wouldn't hit me like that. But you understand, he'd have made me wish that I'd have kept my mouth shut. Amen. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. But dads want you to hear what they say, but they want you to Keep it. Hide it. Listen. Learn. Amen. What I'm telling you is what they're wanting. That's what God wants. He wants us to incline our ear. He wants us to apply our heart. He wants us to cry after knowledge, lift up our voice, and seek and search after wisdom. We've already covered those things, and that's what he said. It's God's word we need to study. It's God's word we need to hear. It's God's word we need to hide. It's God's word we need to lay up. That's what he's talking about. Apply these things to your heart and to your life. Amen. So that's walking with God. It's God's voice we need to incline our ear to. It's God's voice we need to apply our heart to. Amen. It is God's truth we need to cry after, cry out for, seek after, and search for. Amen. And that's New Testament principles, by the way. I know it's right here in the Old Testament Proverbs, but it's New Testament principles. Let me throw you these verses out. You don't have to turn. The Bible tells us we ought to listen to God attentively. I wrote two of these down. There's multiples. Matthew 11:15. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, if God gave you two ears, you better listen. Amen. Matthew 13:9. Again, Jesus said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. God, that's not just an Old Testament principle. It's a New Testament principle. God wants us to listen to his word. Then we're told to obey God humbly. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14:21, Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him, or to him. Amen. Jesus said, keep my commandments. Now I've heard people say that the keeping of the commandments was just the Old Testament way. Jesus apparently didn't know that. Nobody told him that. By the way, he did know because he wrote the Old Testament. And he is the New Testament. Amen. He is the Old Testament. He is the New Testament. And he said, keep my commandments, and it's still right. Amen. It's not that we go back to the law of Moses, but we're fulfilling the law of Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about these New Testament principles that are right here in this Old Testament text of verses 1 through 9. We need to listen. We need to obey. And then we're told to call on God sincerely. Amen. To call on God sincerely. And to seek after God diligently. These things are found in these verses. But Matthew chapter number 6, verse 13, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Jesus said that. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus taught us to seek after God and to seek him diligently. James, the brother of our Lord, James 1:5 said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Amen. James said, you need to ask for wisdom. All these things are what the Father is saying to the Son in these first 9 verses. And, excuse me, to walk with God, again, it don't just happen because you're born in a family. How many times have we seen that? How many times have we seen children, for example, I'll use that illustration. We've seen maybe a whole pew of children, and maybe one or two of them will seek after God, and maybe the others don't. Or maybe all of them but one. But that one chooses not to seek after God. They choose to go their own way. You know what happens? They don't walk the right path. They wind up on the wrong path. Amen. You know why? Because even though they was born in a good family, even though they had truth laid out to them, even though they was offered good things, they chose not to listen. They chose not to incline their heart. They chose not to apply themselves. Amen. Lord, help us that we'd pay attention. Now, listen, I'm talking about this gaining wisdom. I say this, obtaining spiritual wisdom is not a once a week hobby. Amen. Well, I think I'll go get my Bible fixed. I'll go to church today. No, it's more than that. It's a daily discipline of a lifetime. It's a one step after another step, after another step, after another step. Amen. Now, we're living in a day of microwave ovens. We're living in a day of fast food chains. Everything's so quick. Amen. We got all these how-to videos. We got all these books for dummies. You know, they say, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying, but you know, whatever, windows for dummies or doors for dummies or whatever for dummies. You know, they got all these things for dummies. And you know what they are? They're how to quick fix, how to do it yourself, how to simple and easy, get it done. Hit the easy button, as they used to say about Staples and all that kind of stuff. They got all these ideas. Listen, this thing about serving God is not something that can be done just like that. It's not something just quick and easy. It's where you got to apply your heart to God. You got to diligently seek after God, daily digesting the Bible. Amen. Investing time and energy in seeking after God, in digging into God's Word, calling on God. Amen. Amen. Well, I preached this morning about the entertainment situation in a lot of churches. I'm afraid that has dumbed down so many congregations that has hurt them. They don't have any spiritual appetite whatsoever. Amen. That kind of service applauds the entertainer, but it doesn't feed the soul. Amen. Doesn't worship the true and living God. It doesn't give us any real food for our soul. Amen. I was just saying, I'll move on to my next point. There is a price to pay if you're going to walk the path with God. But there's also a price to pay if you don't. So there's the walking with the Lord or walking with God. And then number two, there's the walking with the wicked, verses 10 through 19. You notice that he talks about the evil man and he talks about the strange woman. The evil man's found in verse number 12, and he says that evil man has a froward mouth. Froward. That's not a word we use a lot. Matter of fact, if you type it in, I just noticed on my notes, it changed it. My computer changed it. It says forward. But he's got a froward mouth. He's got a froward mouth. F-R-O-W-A-R-D. Not forward, but a froward mouth. And then that strange woman's got a flattering mouth. Verse number 16. So this is dealing with either sex that might try to lure you from the right pathway onto the wrong pathway. Amen. Look at this evil man. I'll start verse 11, and he says, discretion shall preserve thee. Well, let me back up to 10. I skipped 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. There's that word again, froward. I say we don't use that word much today. It's almost when we look at it, when I look at it, it looks like somebody twisted the word forward. They took the word forward and they twisted it. Well, in reality, that's what it is. A froward man is a man that's not moving forward. He's twisted. He's twisted. He's gotten twisted around in his understanding. It comes from the word that Strong's number 8419. It's found 10 times in your King James Bible. Here's what it means. It means a perversity or a fraud. A perversity or a fraud. In other words, it describes a crook. A crook. It's interesting to me. I never, in preaching, you study words, and I've always been amazed at words. But when you look back at words and how they have a connotation, if a man is a crook, it means he's not straight. It means he's twisted a little bit. We talk about that. Used to they call what today they call homosexuals. The Bible calls them sodomites. Used to they called them perverts. Because they were perverted. You know what? The word, they were twisted. They weren't straight. That's exactly right. I heard a man say this years ago and I've never forgot it. So if you're not straight, you're a crook is what you are. Amen. You're crooked. And that's what he said about this man. This man is twisted. It doesn't mean that he's a sodomite necessarily, but it means he's twisted the truth. He's not walking in the way that's right. He's a crooked man spouting out crooked things. His mouth's talking about froward, perverse, crooked, fraudulent things that he's throwing out there. Amen. Now, all through the book of Proverbs, he's got a lot to say about that. We'll turn, look with me. Hold your place, chapter 2. Look at chapter number 6. Chapter number 6, verses 12 through 14. He mentions this froward man. He says in verse number 12 of chapter 6, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Notice all these things about his mouth. He's got, verse 12, a froward mouth. Verse 13, he speaketh. Verse number 14, he soweth discord. Then chapter number 8, look at chapter 8, verse 13. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's God speaking, by the way. God said, I hate it when people are frauds. Amen. Jesus did not have really harsh words for harlots. But he had harsh words for hypocrites. Amen. He really didn't have harsh words for publicans. I'm talking about just low-life men. But he had harsh words for Pharisees. Amen. He hates the crookedness. And that's the froward mouth, he said, I hate. Look at chapter number 10. Chapter number 10 and verses 31 and 32. Last two verses, chapter 10. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Perverseness coming out of their mouth again. He says that again and again. Look at chapter number 16. This is one more and I'll stop. I'll stop on this point. Proverbs 16:28. Don't want you to think I'm saying I'm going to quit. You got the wrong understanding. Amen. Somebody, you got the wrong misunderstanding when if you got that way, man. Proverbs 16:28. The froward man soweth strife and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Amen. So here's what he's saying. This man is a man that's not on the path of wisdom. This man's on a path of disobedience. He's on a path of rebellion. He's on a perverted path. He's turned to go a different route. That's what he's talking about. This man enjoys that which is evil. He delights in boasting about things that are sinful and things that should be shameful. You'd be amazed at people that boast about how much liquor they drink, how many women they've run with. Amen. How much pornography they've watched. They're on it. They boast. I even have gay pride, they call it. Boast about some of the most despicable things it could ever be. You know what he's doing? He's speaking froward things. He's advertising froward things. And he's left that path of wisdom and he's on the path of rebellion. He belongs to the crowd that Solomon warned us about in Proverbs 1 and verse number 10 through 19. I preached on that. I believe I preached on that in December when I talked about being careful who you run with in 2021. Amen. I said this in 2021, be careful with whom you run. That's the way I dealt with it. And the idea there, be careful of the crowd that you're with. This is the guy that Solomon warned us about. He's a man that is in rebellion. Now notice back in our text in Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 13, he says, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. It seems to indicate that this man might have once walked on the right path. Amen. It's not that he lost his salvation. It's that he never really had it. We understand that. I believe one scripture can't refute another scripture. They all have to line up. Amen. And so if we rightly divide and rightly understand the scripture, we can see apparently this man never had it. But there was a time when he seemed to walk the right way. In other words, he was told the right way. He knew the right way. But he chose not to go that route. He chose to go another way. Amen. And he chose to forsake the right way. Interesting to me how many people want to say, for example, I'll go back to the sodomite crowd. It's interesting to me how they, when they first started, all they wanted was tolerance. We just want to be accepted. No, they didn't. They want dominance. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Man, I could chase that rabbit a long way and I don't have time to deal with it. But they come out and they said, all we want is to be accepted. We just want to be able to just live and let live. Then all of a sudden they get angry at us because they think we're discriminating against them because we have a wife and they don't have one. All of a sudden they need gay marriage. You've heard me chase that rabbit before, but there's no law that says that a gay man cannot get married. He just has to marry a woman. Amen. A man's supposed to marry a woman. You remember that crazy fellow up there in the Capitol prayed that prayer the other day, and he prayed amen and a woman. I said, he'd have got in a lot of trouble if he'd have said, that's what marriage is, a man and a woman. He'd have got in trouble. But all of a sudden, you know what it is? All of a sudden they say live and let live, except you don't get that option. That's just for us. Leave me alone. Don't talk about my sin. And then they get angry at us for walking the right way. Amen. Let me believe what I want to believe, but you don't have the right to believe what you want to believe. That's what they, that's the way they twist it and turn it. Because in reality, they don't, and I'm just, when I say they, not just talking about the Sodomite crowd, I'm talking about sinners. They don't just want their way. They want their way only. Nobody else have any option. They get angry, but you know why? Because they are convicted every time somebody chooses the right way. When the AA crowd, not AAA, I don't guess, the Alcoholics Anonymous crowd, they say that when you get off alcohol, that you're a recovering alcoholic, but they say you're still an alcoholic. You'll always be an alcoholic. If you go and say, no, you know, I got saved, I'm not an alcoholic anymore, they don't like that. They don't believe that. They say, matter of fact, you're getting ready to regress because you're denying that you're a drunkard. Well, listen, Jesus changes people when he saves them. I mean, it's just a reality. You can deny it if you want to. You can deny that the lights are on if you want to. That don't change the fact, amen, that we're not sitting in the dark. It doesn't change the fact that God changes a man when he saves him. He'll take him off of that stuff, and he'll help him to walk in the right way. Amen. Amen. God will change him. You're not just a recovering alcoholic. You're a redeemed, saved saint of God. Amen. Amen. I know we use that term sometimes. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but now, thank God, I'm a saint by the grace of God. And I'm not boasting in myself, and I'm not saying, well, I couldn't mess up. I could mess up. I recognize that. But it's not me that makes me a saint. It's him that makes me a saint. Amen. Amen. Well, they get upset because they've rebelled against that right way. Now, listen, I don't think that's true about everybody that is perverted. I don't think that all of them have known the truth. Some of them never known it. But for many of them, they have known the right way. They've chosen to go another way. Yep. They've chosen to rebel against the right way. And I say that all perverted men are dangerous. I'll say it again, all perverted men, I mean men and women, boys and girls, all perverted people are dangerous. But the most dangerous are those that have known the right way and rebelled against it. For the fellow that can say to the young man, for example, yeah, I tried that Jesus stuff, just didn't work for me. Yeah, I've tried the church way, just didn't work for me. Different strokes for different folks. We're all going to heaven, just going different ways. That's the most dangerous man around. Amen. When they think they found a better way. Mark those men. Avoid those people. Amen. They are dangerous people. They have forsaken wisdom's path. Amen. And be careful. Wisdom would cause you to forsake their path. Amen. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. This man's going a different way. He's walking a different path than we're walking. And I'll just say it, and I'm moving on. Unless you want to end up like he's going to end up, you better get off his path. You better quit following him. You better stay off his path. Then he moves on to verse 16, talk about the strange woman. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. I like it that sometimes the Bible is alliterated. Here's a man, an evil man has a froward mouth. Here's a evil woman that has a flattering mouth. Look at verse number 17. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth. She's done the same thing the man has. She's turned and gone a different way. Forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her path unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So he's got the path of life in there. He's talking about be careful about the path you're walking on. This woman's walking on a different path. Her path's not the path of life. Her path is the path of death. Amen. Amen. This is a wayward woman, a wayward wife. Apparently she's got a husband. He's talking about the guide of her youth. And he may be talking about her father, but it talks about the covenant that she's made. The covenant that she's made with God. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is not a contract. I'll do this if you'll do that. No, marriage says between me and God, I'm promising you these things. Amen. It's a covenant made with God. And she's breaking that covenant. She's breaking the heart of God. She's breaking the heart of her parents. She's breaking the heart of her God by going into these things. Amen. And so he talks about that. He deals with her specifically in chapter number 7, verses 1 through 27. I'm not going to deal with that in this sermon. We'll get there when we get there. But what he's saying here, this evil man uses froward words to entangle others. Here's an evil woman that uses flattering words to ensnare others, entangling others. Warren Wiersbe said this, and he's so right. I don't know where he got it, because he said, someone has said that flattery isn't communication, it's manipulation. I say, amen. Someone has said that flattery isn't communication, it's manipulation. Amen. That's a powerfully accurate statement. Flattery is somebody telling us things about ourselves that we enjoy hearing and we wish it was true. Amen. Oh, you got the most beautiful eyes in the whole wide world. Well, one thing, you ain't never seen all the eyes in the whole wide world. But when they lay out, maybe you do have fine eyes. Maybe they're fine. But when they lay it on so thick, amen, amen, they pour it on there. I mean, it's about like Tammy Faye Baker putting on makeup. Pack it on with a, they use a bricklayer spatula, amen. Lay that on there, amen. They're laying it on. Flattery is somebody heaping on praise, amen. Copiously laying on false praise like that of a politician, amen. Okay, you want me to give you the moon? I'll give you the moon. You want me to give you Mars? I'll give you Mars. I'll give you everything you want. Now, we're going to have free health care. We're going to have free college tuition. Matter of fact, I'm going to make sure everybody gets an A. I mean, they'll just lay it on and just, you know it ain't true. You know it ain't true. Amen. I heard Jordan Peterson the other day. He made the statement. I showed it to Steve. I told it to Steve and Joshua. And Jordan Peterson was talking about the election back in 2016. He said nobody trusted Hillary Clinton. He said Hillary Clinton her whole life had wanted to be president. So her whole life she had done things she thought would make her be president. She said what she thought everybody wanted to hear. And people didn't buy it because they didn't believe it. And here's what he said. I think he's right. He said people would rather have the off-the-cuff, obvious lies of Donald Trump than the carefully scripted and formulated lies of Hillary Clinton. I'd say that's right. That's right. The idea, politicians, you know, I know we just came through, we're in a political year, just come through, that you know the old saying about how to tell when they're lying, look and see if their mouth's moving. And it's about the truth. They just pour on flattery. That's what this woman is, by the way. She is a professional liar. She knows how to pull people in. Amen. I don't have time to deal with it a whole lot, but let me just give you a little bit about this. She's laying on the flattery. I looked it up. Flattery is defined as excessive and insincere praise given especially to further one's own interests. I'll read that again. Flattery is excessive and insincere praise given especially to further one's own interests. Amen. This woman, the adulteress, knows how to use flattery successfully. She has no respect for God because she breaks God's law. She has no respect for her husband because she breaks her husband's heart. And in reality, she has no respect for you because she'll be flattering another fella in just a little while. Amen. She flatters you today, but she may well be heaping that same excessive and insincere praise on another or somebody in just a little while. Amen. You know what she's doing? She's only using you for her own desires, her own selfish and devilish desires. I remember hearing young men, I mean older men, tell young men when I was younger, telling them in the past, they say something like this. They say, boy, if she'll cheat with you, she'll cheat on you. That's good advice, by the way, young men. Remember that. If she'll cheat with you, she'll cheat on you. That's this woman right here in a nutshell. Amen. Wisdom will tell you, stay off of her path. Leave her alone. Stay out of her way. Her way is a dead end street. Amen. I said, really, in reality, her way is an end dead street. You end up dead. He said, it's the way of death. Amen. Then there's not only the walking with God and the walking with the wicked, but there's the walking with the righteous. Look at verse 20 through 21. That thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Notice all this talking about ways and paths. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressor shall be rooted out of the way. Solomon began his lecture, verse number 1, with the word if. If you do these things, my son, if you do these things. He comes on to the verse then in verse 5 and in verse number 9, and he concludes with that. If you'll do this, then this will happen. That, so that this can happen. If you'll stay on the path of God, then you'll stay away from the path of the wicked so that you can have friends that are on the right path. That's what he's talking about. Amen. So he says this is how it'll turn up. If we receive God's word, if we obey God's word, then we'll have wisdom to discern how we ought to make wise decisions. And that will enable us to be guarded and protected from the evil man and the adulterous woman. When you obey God, you have the privilege to walk in the way of good men. That's what he said. So look at verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men. Their path is best of all. Amen. Amen. I talk about politics. The greatest president, more than likely, and I think bar none, the greatest president America has probably ever had, this is not a political statement, it's just a truthful statement, is George Washington. First president. He was not a politician. He did not run for the office. He did not long for the office. He didn't like the office. He only did it because he felt like that's what his country needed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God help us to have some people that do right just because it's the right thing to do. But here's what he said here. You make up the crowd. Which crowd do you want to run with? You want to run with the adulterous crowd? You want to run with the lying crowd? Or do you want to get on the path of some good men? By the way, you know what made George Washington a good man? He knew something about the Bible. He feared God. Amen. As a matter of fact, there's evidence that he made profession of faith and John Gannot baptized him into a Baptist church. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But I'm just simply saying you can walk with good men if you'll stay with God. That path is the best path. Now I know there's some, especially young people, they're afraid if they don't join the wrong crowd, they won't have any friends. Preacher, if I don't get in with that rowdy crowd, I won't have any friends at all. That's not true. It's not true. If you'll honestly seek after God, you'll have an opportunity to walk with good men. That's what this verse says, and I believe it's so. It doesn't mean that there'll always be somebody right there by your side, but it's saying those that'll be there will really be there. Amen. There won't just be somebody that's with you to get something off of you. There'll be somebody that's there because they're in the way that's right and they're interested in the way that's right and you are as well. Amen. They'll be real friends. They'll be good friends. Amen. Amen. Well, the wicked may appear like they're succeeding for a time. He talks about that here, but he says in the end, it's the upright that's going to enjoy the blessings. In the end, it's going to be the wicked that's going to be cut off and the transgressors that's going to be rooted out. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. The safest and most satisfying pathway is the path of wisdom. It's the path of life. It is the protected path. That's what we've talked about in today's message. It is the protected path. You've got God to protect you. You've got God's word to protect you. You've got His spirit to protect you. I'm just asking a question. Are you on this path? What path are you on? Who are you running with? What's your crowd? Have you been tempted to wander off the path, to reject the path, and head in a different way? Maybe some froward man, maybe some flattering woman has tempted you to leave the path that's right. You need to come pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you again, Lord, for the truth of God's Word that warns us and instructs us and helps us, Lord, and encourages us in the way that's right. Father, I pray help. I preach primarily to the young people. I say that a lot. Lord, this is for all of us. We all need this, Lord. We all do. Would you help us? And you get the glory. Work in the invitation time according to thy will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. If you need to come while we sing, you obey the Lord.